Welcome to the Law of Attraction in Action podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and thank you so much for joining me. I'm here to inspire you to live amazing lives through the Law of Attraction and help you see how powerful you really are. In this podcast, you'll hear interviews, and I will give you inspirational talks on my Monday session. So thank you so much for joining me, and happy manifesting! Welcome to Law of Attraction in Action. Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. My name is Michelle Joy, and I am your host. And today I'm bringing to you people from all over the world and all walks of life who are here to share their journey around the Law of Attraction in order to inspire you to do the same thing. So today's guest, her name is Michelle Morris, and she is the international TEDx speaker, speaker coach, corporate trainer, talk show host of her podcast, Mental Shift, and co-host of Denim and Pearls podcast. She's also the author of two published books, Eat, Drink, and Be Merry, A Glimpse into a Life Well-Lived, and It's Not Luck, Overcoming You. And Michelle, I'm so excited to learn about you and all that you have to offer this world. So thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So Michelle, one thing I ask all of my guests is, how did you come into the Law of Attraction and how has it changed your life?
Well, I came into the Law of Attraction knowing about it on accident, literally. I was in a car accident in 2014 where I lost all my memories, the ability to walk, speak, talk, you name it, for 18 months. And I gained a lot of weight and I got really sick. I thought I was dying and I wasn't able to communicate. So the Law of Attraction has become such a huge part of my life because what I realized when I was trapped in my head, having full conversations with every inner critic in there, by the way, that what I focused on came to me. So I would be in my head doing, you know, I'm just getting sicker. This is ridiculous. I don't know why I'm here. And I would get sicker. Uh-huh. And then when I had a lot of time to practice. And uh-huh. So I worked on other things. So it's like, I'm trapped in my head and I would think of my husband and that I want a drink, but I couldn't say it. I want a drink. I want water.
You couldn't speak at that point? Wow.
I didn't speak for 18 months. And so I want water. I want water. And I would have my husband in my head and he would come and do you want water? And so what I had done is I started practicing tiny little things. And what I realized is I want to speak again. Uh-huh. I want to walk again. And I don't know how that is, but it's just, I focused on what was coming, not what I was in. And I could see me now. I could see it. And I could feel the body I'm in. I saw it all. And I just kept moving my mind towards it. So every time something negative popped in, I went, no, you don't belong. This is what I want. And then every night before I went to bed, I would envision where I wanted to be, what I wanted to look like, what it felt like, the emotional state I would be in. If you look back at when I did my TEDx was right after I came out of that 18 months of no talking, I was over 300 pounds. I was 389 pounds to be exact. And I saw this person.
And if you see the video, guys, most people listen to podcasts. She's gorgeous. She's this tiny little thing. You never know. Just again, I have to get the visual because most people listen, not
that's
do video,
true,
although
that's
it
true,
is on video.
True.
So go to the YouTube channel if you really want to see this beautiful woman, but what an Aww. Inspiration. Okay,
but
keep going.
That's I love really what it is. I kept seeing myself healthier and alive and walking and talking on stages. I saw it and I could feel it. And, you know, so many people do, oh, you know, I've been doing this and it didn't work. So I, you know, I gained 5 more pounds and I dropped 20, but I gained this. And I stopped focusing on that. I focused on what I felt inside. And so now I'm in the 150 range now. So I dropped 2/3 of me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was doing anything crazy or forcing it or I am. Mm-hmm. And so I started focusing on the things I loved about myself. I started focusing on the things that I appreciated about myself. And I started, you know, what you focus on, you bring. And so before I was always focusing on what I wasn't, who I wasn't, apologizing for what I wasn't, who I was, you know, all that negativity. Mm-hmm. And what I did was got more of it. And so when I started focusing on the opposite, I got the opposite. I got what I wanted by focusing on the better sides of what I want.
And your brain was a captive audience. What this is kind of what I love about your situation is like, literally, like you said, you had no other choice. It was you, yourself, and I in your brain. And you had literally a decision to go one way or the other. And I'd imagine, this is what I love about visualizations. And I teach this all the time. When we visualize something, it makes us feel good now. Did it make you feel, and like that to me is a beautiful coping mechanism. So if people are struggling and they're having a hard time, visualize what you want your life to be and you will feel good now. I mean, to me, a lot of people go to alcohol or drugs, go to your visualizations and you will feel so good. So did that make you feel good in that moment?
Your brain is so amazing. I figured out that I was punishing myself in my brain, that I switched to start I stopped pretending one day I was going to have that. I started living in I am.
Yes.
And that's what it was. Okay. Yeah. I don't quite fit in that body yet, but I am that. I lived it. I spoke it. I was. And so when I started speaking, my husband's like, when did you start speaking? I don't know. I have to speak. I have to speak now. And he's like, okay, what's going on? It was like in a day I stood up and I started walking. We don't really know all of the focus on what happened. I heard a voice say, get up, you're not dead yet. So I started moving. And it was living in who I knew I was. Yeah. Not what I criticized myself to be, who I was.
Yeah.
And I stepped into that and I never stopped living out of it. I didn't put myself down. And whenever I found something else, I do, oh, it's so awesome that you feel this way. Oh, it's so amazing that you can, just like a little kid, you know, you oh, good yeah. job. You could get good handwriting. You know, you do all that kind of stuff for a little kid. I spoke to my inner toddler.
Yeah.
And I praised that inner person in me that was neglected for so many years. And once I started praising me, the me stepped up.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only did it heal you, it helped you walk, it helped you talk, it helped you get better, but it helped you, it actually directly led you to this path that you're on.
Directly.
Yeah.
I stopped apologizing for what I wasn't and stepped into who I was. And that's the magic. That's what I speak about. That's what I coach about. That's what I write about is I wrote my books in my brain injury. So the first book I wrote in my brain injury when I couldn't talk, I wrote it in my head. The second book I wrote when I went through my breast cancer. So I got diagnosed with breast cancer about 6 months right after I started talking again. So I'm in a brain injury, traumatic brain injury, four areas of my brain not working. 6 months later, found out I had breast cancer. And all those inner critic things came back like, yeah, sure, you positively thought yourself into this. So now you got cancer. And I used the same thing. I saw the cancer not there. I saw that I still saw the other me. I still saw that person. I was still there. I'm like, so whatever this is, it's a stepping stone because I can still see the stage. I can still see me talking. So I focused on what I knew and who I was and just kept going. So I'm still in the cancer journey though. I think pretty much you always will be really once you have cancer, but it's living in who I am and what I am and thanking the negative, I'm using quotes, air quotes, the negative that happened to me became the biggest positive in my life. So get out of your own heads.
Yeah.
Step into who you really are. Because now I just told someone just on a podcast this morning, I live so truly as me that even if I did drop dead today, I know everyone who knows me knows I love and care for them. And
yes. That
I have lived in my purpose and I have no regrets.
Yes.
It's a magical way to live.
It really is. And you are so like on like this beautiful glow and joy and happiness. I love this energy with you. And this is something I get so excited about this stuff, Michelle, because I preach this all the time. I worked in hospice. I used to be a hospice nurse. And so I worked around dying all the time. And so for me, I had being around that made me like really appreciate life. And be so grateful for life. And I actually, it's so funny. I think Gary Barnes and I talked about, we both took like a class when we were really young or somehow about death and dying.
And death
we had to write our epitaph and that whole thing. And I did that in my like when I was 22 or something. And I feel like it's always been the greatest gift to know about dying, to understand that we're going to die, because what happens is you really tell those people you love them. You live full out. You're like, no longer are you willing to live in mediocrity. You're not, it's just, that's not where we're not born to be. Just like your average Joe, we're meant to shine, and you are shining so brightly. And so I love that you are doing this work. And this story is exactly my favorite story to have on this podcast. Just so you know, you can see how excited I am. Maybe the coffee. No, it's actually because you're amazing. But tell us more, because this thing, I did not read your whole bio, but you do a lot on positivity. Let's have a juicy conversation on positivity, because
let's do it. That's what I made it.
I have to tell you something I heard recently. I was on a podcast, and I don't remember this woman's name, but I heard just a blip of this podcast, and I hope I didn't take it out of context, but she is the one at Harvard to have the most popular class, which is on happiness. And it's the number one class taken at Harvard, right? And so she was on a podcast, and she was talking about positivity. She goes, and this isn't, I'm not quoting her because I remember what she said, but the gist is, she said, it's not realistic to be positive. And I was like, what? Like, I was so taken back by that. I'm like, this is a woman teaching happiness. And she's like, it's just not realistic to be happy. Because I think what it is, we are going to suffer. I did a whole series on the Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu. And
to me too.
Yeah, you did. Oh my God. And to me, those two got it. They understand joy and happiness. They get it. And they also get it. It comes from suffering. So I'm not saying we're going to ignore the suffering. And I don't preach that. But I think we absolutely need to think positive. Obviously you do too. What's your take on all that?
Well, my body has died on me, tried to die on me 7 times in the past 3 years. I've had 7 surgeries in 3 years, from breast cancer through my organs failing. And I've always got a smile on my face. Why? Because when I say think positive, I don't mean be happy, happy, joy, joy. Nothing's wrong. Life happens. Bad things happen. Okay. What I say when I say be positive, positive, the breakdown of that posi is posi, possibilities. So when I'm saying be positive, I say, look for the possibilities in the outcome. If you allow your brain to do whatever it wants to do, it will willy-nilly focus on the most negative ending that can possibly happen. It will blow it into such a huge proportion. We have the best brains for creativity, and it's very good at creating not so good scenarios. Right.
Well, and the media doesn't help with this, by the way.
No, it's not. So I say, when you're thinking, I say positive, it's the opposite of negative. I say posi, possibilities. If you are negating, you are negating and taking away possibilities. So be positive by seeing the possibilities in the outcomes.
I love
focus
that.
On the good one.
Right, right.
Focus on the one you want. And that's why I go into the whole, you know, you can bring it to you, that power. You focus on the negative, and I can positively tell you, I'm going to say positively tell you, you will get more negative. I tested this when I was not well, when I had cancer and I started doubting if I would live, and I started focusing on every ache and pain, I got sick, more sick. Mm-hmm. When I shifted my mindset and said, okay, I may not feel so good, but you know what? My skin looks really great. You know what? And today my stomach isn't upset. And I started focusing on all the good things in my life. I forgot the other pain and kept moving. Possibilities. It's the positive in life. You don't need to be happy, happy, joy, joy, but you do need to be able to see the light.
Yeah. And there's like 1,000 and a million options to things. And we often think there's option A or B and that's it. These are only two choices, a very black and white thinking, right? Yeah. But that's not the truth. And that's the thing. I think a lot of even the Dalai Lama in the Book of Joy, one of the things was about perception, right? How we perceive something is where we find more happiness and joy, because you can look at something from 1,000 angles. So I love what you say, this positive possibility, because when we look at, you just tell your mind, okay, there's more than one option. What I often say, Michelle, is I tell myself when I'm struggling, I say, how could I see this differently? How could I see this differently? And I'm asking spirit, I'm very spiritual. So I'm asking spirit, show me how to see this differently. And you know what? Spirit always downloads me with like amazing, beautiful, like, oh, this is a great option. So there's always a different perspective on everything we're looking at. And if you're choosing what is possible. And that's another good affirmation. What else is possible? You're going to be led to a better life. But the things, Michelle, and I really want to tap into this because I know a lot of people are struggling right now, especially with what's going on in the world and COVID. And I have some really dear friends who they are just married to their negativity. Like they're married, like they won't get divorced from it, you know? And I'm speaking hypothetically and realistically, because I have friends who are in bad relationships.
I'm committed to being miserable.
Committed. So what's some advice we can give people, or you can give people to get out of that, like that grind? And plus, a lot of people are listening, want to help their loved ones. So how can we help people who are in that negative state?
Well, I say several things because it's my quest to raise that level of positivity in the world. Why? Like I said, my body has tried to die on me 7 times in the past 3 years. I have had major things happen. And each time that I was on a deathbed, my last thought wasn't, I wonder what my ROI is. I really hope that my house is still. No, it was, I hope people know how much I love and care for them. I hope my children know how much I love them and I would do anything for them. I hope my husband, it was all about love, care.
Yep.
It wasn't about anything that I would have been worried about. And so this is why I do what I do. I grew up always worried. I was always afraid. I was always afraid something bad was going to happen. I was completely focused on the bad until I was about to die. And suddenly all the things that I thought woulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, that I worried about were nowhere in my brain. So as I'm going out and they're about to cut off my breast, I didn't care about all the things I worried about. And so when I woke up, I was so happy. And the doctors are like, you know, everybody else in this cancer ward is crying. Why are you smiling? And I said, because I'm alive. And I promise I will never, never allow myself to dwell on that negativity again. I will find positive no matter where it is. And that's kind of my blessing and my curse. I have lost people in my life because I'm so positive, I make them sick. And it's like, no, you don't understand. I've gone through hell and come out of it. I can honestly tell you what you're worrying about, all this nitpicky stuff, means nothing. And when COVID hit, people were writing me upset that I wasn't traumatized about COVID. And I said, here's the thing. I've had cancer. I was wearing a mask. I was not allowed outside. I had to watch the people I was around. I was disinfecting everything. My entire house has been completely disinfected. I've been here, done that, got the t-shirt and don't want it anymore. So I burn that t-shirt. So that's my thing. I know what you're going through. I know the pain. I know the fear. I know the uncertainty of, oh my God, I could die. Well, guess what? Some of us have that diagnosis and we're always on that level. And what I realized, living like I was going to die if someone came near me, I wasn't living. So my thought process is now, and you know, people are going to hear this and holy smokes, this lady's a speaker and she goes out into large crowds. Yes, I do. You know why I do? Because I felt like I was dead when I locked myself up.
Yes.
And I can't do that. Right. So when I go out in public, I stay 6 feet apart. I do not talk into people's faces. I am very safe.
Yeah.
To an extent.
Right.
I am not going to lock myself in the house because I almost died already. Multiple times. And my regret was love and affection. I can't do this anymore. And so that's why I say, for those of you who are living in your world and you've got friends or family and loved ones that are locked in their negativity, the best advice I can say, well, actually I have the work by Byron Katie. I'm kind of a Byron Katie fan. I use that a lot. But I would say the advice you can give to them is, you can't. The advice I can give to you is love them anyways. Love them where they are, because we can't change other people's opinions and what they think, but we can change how we react to them. And by reacting differently to them and accepting them as who they are and what they are and how they react, maybe that alone will shift them. Because there's only 3 types of control in the world. There's my control, your control, and God in the universe's control. Stay out of everybody else's control, but yours. Control your own. Right. So yes, if you have someone you love that stays in negativity, there's really not much we can do except love them.
You know, and I've been dealing with that with my best friend. She's very in that fear. And I'm not, you know, I teach law of attraction. I believe in the power of our minds, I believe, and we're naturally in the well-being. So for me, I'm not afraid of the virus. That's where I stand, to be honest. But she's very in that fear, very much. Doesn't want to go out, doesn't want to, you know, like literally, I didn't even talk to her on the phone for months. I don't know why. So long story short, I just have to just love her.
Love her.
And just love her because that is where she's at. I can't change her mind. I'm not in the job of forcing change on people's minds. Like that's their own job. That's their own work.
That's their path.
Their choice. But I don't want to lose this friendship and because she means a lot to me. So I really have been focusing on just loving her and just, and you know what? We had a great little date at the park the other day. She got a little closer to me than usual. I was really proud of her. And we were still, you know, distance enough. We didn't hug, but which drives me crazy. I really miss hugging. But she went home that night and danced in her kitchen. She felt so alive and she's been down a lot lately.
I'm going to tear up. That's my problem. Yeah. We are humans that need connection. And by pulling us apart and telling us that you're going to die if you go next to that person, we're killing little pieces of us.
Yes.
And we need each other. We need that connection. And to think that we can't, I mean, I know people who aren't even touching their own family members. Okay.
I know.
And my thing is you live in the same house. You are circulating the same air. Freaking hug your family.
Yeah. And like you said, you had been on the deathbed. You had been so close to it that what you thought about is how could I love more? It's really about that. So, you know, we don't want a year, you know, 2 years from now, whenever this is going to stop and be like, oh my gosh, I missed this whole 2 years of not loving others. For 2 years of my life, I've been dead. For a lot of people, that's what they're living. This is their self-induced reality. Cause I'm like, we can still go outside, but people are afraid to go outside. So it's our own little hell, but this is okay. But let's go back to positivity. Yeah. There is hope. And you know, Michelle, your story is so brilliant. I'm so glad you're getting out there speaking about it because if anyone's going to hear how magical our minds are, it's from you. Because you really, really have experienced it and get it. And you shared it with all my people. And I hope they hear you.
I hope they hear me too. But you know what? Those who hear me will hear me.
Don't. Yeah, that's right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. How can people get in touch with you and find out about all your great stuff that you've got going on? Because I'm sure people are going to want to know more about you. I know I want your books like right away. I'm going to get your book. This is so good.
I am a social media haven crazy person, okay? But you can go to my website. It's my name, Michelle Maras, MicheleMras. So MichelleMrAs.com. I pretty much have everything linked there so you can get to me anywhere. I have the two podcasts, so Mental Shift and Denim and Pearls. They're both on YouTube. Just reach out to me. I think I'm the only Michelle Maras who's a little short brown person with short hair.
Who's adorable, by the way.
The other just lady's adorable. Blonde.
Is there another one out there?
Yeah, there's another one. She's blonde. So that's not me. I'm the
okay,
short.
Got it.
Short,
okay. Short, dark hair. We love it. Well, Michelle, I love you so much. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for being you and just being an example. Like just hearing you gets me so happy.
It's my quest in life. I was given seven chances. I'm like a cat. Seven chances.
Keep going, Michelle.
Because I'm supposed to do this. So I am.
You are.
I'm stepped into who I am.
Yep. That's the message too. Be you.
Unapologetically.
Right. Yay. And go hug somebody, darn it. That's my thing. I'm like, who's the first person to let me hug them? Yay. We'll see how that goes. All right. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. Again, everybody, please reach out to her, go to her website, check her out, get her book, go to her podcast. I know you're all podcast listeners, so go to her podcast. And thank you. Thank you for sharing you, Michelle.
Thank you
everyone for listening. If you have a story you want to share on my podcast, I would love to hear from you. Just go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And I hope you all have a wonderful day and happy manifesting. Thank you again for listening and joining me on my podcast. If you want to learn more about me, please go to my website at michelle-joy.com. That's michelle-joy.com. And on there, I have lots of goodies, including guided meditations and inspirational posts and blogs. And of course, I'm here to help you as your coach. So thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.